PSA is making big news with a return of lower cost grading. And what will the future hold? When will they open back up again to even lower cost grading levels? We're bringing Nat Turner, the head of PSA, on the program to give us all the inside info.
My name is Jeff Wilson. By day, I invest in tech companies. And at night, I invest in sports cars. Join me and my team as we help you profit from the hobby we all love.
Hello, sports card investors, and welcome to a very special interview with one of the most important people in the sports card hobby today, Nat Turner, the head of collectors, the head of PSA, and the person who has the keys to the kingdom when it comes to reopening PSA's grading levels. We are going to get the inside scoop from him today on PSA's plans. And of course, this episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay is here for the card collectors with a trick for every trade, like advanced tools for price checking with Price Guide Beta within the eBay app, and up to 50% faster listing with Image Scan. Learn how collecting just got smarter at ebay.com/tradinghub. Okay, the interview you're about to see with Nat Turner was from a couple of weeks ago when he came on our virtual holiday card show, and it was a great interview. You are definitely gonna wanna watch this if you didn't have a chance to see it then. In this interview, he references PSA reopening their regular submission service. They're in the process now of doing that, and they're metering the number of submissions that they can take every single day. I did want to let you know that we get extra submissions here at Sports Card Investor through our bulk grading submission service with Got Baseball Cards. We get our own allocation of regular level submissions at $100 a card that we are able to submit through. So if you're thinking about getting your cards graded with PSA at their new lower cost service level, consider using our grading service to get that done. Go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on grading in the main menu bar to get all of that handled. All right, without further ado, let's bring Nat Turner on the show so you can see that great interview from the virtual holiday. We cannot have a conversation about the future of the sports card hobby without bringing in one of the most important people in the sports card hobby today, and that is Nat Turner, the head of PSA, the head of collectors. And there he is. Nat, welcome to the virtual holiday.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And I know the audience right off the bat is going to be curious to hear about what's happening at PSA. You guys are reopening a grading level. That's a big step forward. Tell us about that. And then also what people might look forward to in 2022.
Yeah. Well, first we've been making a ton of progress on our backlog. That's been the thing holding us back from reopening. We've been very focused on making sure when we reopen, our turnaround times are, I would say, satisfactory. Right now, you know, for the lower end service levels, it's much more delay than we'd like. But we did just reopen our regular service level, which is just one level below Express. Express has been open for a few months. We are doing it in a kind of a metered way. So we're only allowing a certain number of cards per day at that level to be submitted, from both dealers and what we call retail. So just collectors submitting themselves. That's a big deal for us. We basically are committing a certain relatively small percentage of our daily capacity to the new available service levels, such as regular, which we're comfortable basically dedicating the rest of the capacity towards the backlog as we still work that down. But we want to be fully reopened, you know, early next year. It won't be January, I wish, but at some point, kind of late Q1, early Q2, we want to start opening up the lower service levels, even below regular.
Okay, so you think there will become a point next year, sounds like maybe even first half of the year, where you guys are kind of back to having all of your service levels open?
Yeah, we that's the goal. Like I said, we're probably going to end up metering, for lack of a better word, you know, to control the demand. We, according to our customers, you know, if we were to reopen today at, you know, the pricing we were at earlier this year, we'd probably be right back in the same situation we're in currently, you know, with a big backlog and slow turnaround time. So instead of just keeping the price, you know, I would say out of reach for most people, we're going to have pricing that is obtainable, more accessible, but just control the number of submissions that can actually be sent in. We think that's a pretty good compromise for folks who want to send in cards but are just waiting.
Yeah, it will definitely be exciting for the sports card hobby to have those levels open again. And I totally understand the need to meter it, because I'm sure there are many people who have shoeboxes full of cards that are ready, you know, marked as to be sent to PSA the day you reopen some of the lower service levels. But it's great to hear that you've made that progress. You know, that's really exciting. The grading landscape has changed a lot over the last year. There now seems like there's, 15 different grading companies with three letter acronyms of all different types. I don't know why every grading company has to have a three letter acronym, but they almost all do. And some have brought, you know, kind of different interesting twists into grading. How has that changed from PSA's perspective? Do you guys pay attention to what these other companies are doing? Are you guys just concentrated on continuing to be kind of the high-end leader in this space, or how do you position yourselves?
Yeah, I mean, we certainly, as a collector, you know, I see all of this stuff on Instagram and Twitter. I think people get a lot of pleasure from tagging me and things to kind of try to get me riled up. But, it doesn't usually work because, you know, frankly, we're just heads down focused on getting through our backlog. But all the while, we're building a ton of cool stuff, technology, new offices, hiring people from folks to receive packages all the way to graders and machine learning engineers to build, you know, the latest and greatest software that we need and our collectors want. So it's been very much a heads down year, 2021. I don't see, that changing next year. So we don't really pay that much attention to them. But, you know, it's great to see, frankly, companies in general and venture funding come into cards. I never thought I'd see the day, you know, being in cards as long as I have been. And it's, competitor or not, it's actually, I think, good for the hobby to see all this new stuff happening. So
a rising tide rises all boats. I completely agree with you. It's wonderful to see all of the interest, all of the companies, all of the startups. It's just a good thing for the market overall. You mentioned machine learning and software, and a lot was made of PSA's acquisition of Genemint when that happened several months ago. And now actually Kevin, who was the founder of Genemint, is actually running PSA on a day-to-day basis. Are we starting to see some of that type of technology in the grading process, or will we next year?
Yeah, it's not yet. Anyone who thinks, you know, their cards got graded incorrectly or too strictly was because of Genemint is inaccurate. That's inaccurate. We're not using any machine learning software in the, I'll turn my phone off here. We're not using any technology in the grading room just yet. We're very focused on building more scalable software that it takes time to kind of train the grading room to use. So we're focused on getting rid of some of the manual processes around counterfeit detection first. And so Genemint's going to be used for basically comparing incoming cards, raw cards, to known counterfeits, which you can actually tell at the pixel level pretty easily, believe it or not. And that just allows the graders, it's like a diagnostic check before the graders even have to waste their time on a counterfeit card if the system can flag it. So that's going to be one of the first things we launch. It actually won't be in the grading room, technically. It'll be once the card shows up in our office, it'll actually run once it's imaged. That's probably one of the first. We're actually using this now, but not in grading. We're using what we call automated spec ID. So when a card comes in and, you know, the customer writes what they think the card is, we have to confirm that. And oftentimes it's wrong and we need to get it right. And there are parallels and variations and all sorts of things. So the system can actually, and this is live technology, not the whole team yet, but soon, where a spec ID, the card's unique ID is assigned to it using a computer. It's a really cool piece of tech and that'll reduce over time. Unfortunately, every company, including us, mislabels cards from time to time, you know, on the label. This is an example of software, you know, hopefully eliminating that. over time. And so we are actually using that. That actually came out of that acquisition in part. So it's starting. Next year is when we're launching a lot of cool things in the grading room.
Yeah, very, very cool. Well, I'm glad you guys are being so technologically proactive on all of those fronts. And, you know, this year has been a big year of change overall for the sports card hobby. In fact, I can't imagine a year where more change has taken place. And you've got, obviously, the news of Panini and Topps losing their licenses in the future for the sports leagues and Fanatics coming in and taking over some of those licenses in the future. I'm curious to hear from your perspective as a collector, as a longtime collector, what do you hope to see out of Panini and Topps during this period while they still have the licenses? And then what do you hope to see from Fanatics down the road in the future?
Yeah, I mean, from Panini and Topps, it's pretty simple. Well, it's something I don't want to see, and I'm probably one of the last people they'd listen to, but would be don't overprint. You know, I think you know, both companies probably have an incentive to do that, you know, because they have a limited license and they want to, you know, profit as much as they can from it. I don't think they do that. Honestly, it wouldn't be the right thing for the hobby. And I know a lot of people who work at both companies, and, you know, they all care about the health of the hobby. And that's one of the quickest ways you can bring us right back to the late 80s. Early 90s, you know, as if they were to do that. So that'd be number one. You know, I personally think things like sticker autos, redemptions, you know, jersey patches that can't be guaranteed to be associated with the player or even game worn or so on, like all that stuff I think should change. But in reality, you know, it's probably pretty hard to change those things, certainly in a limited license situation. So switching gears to Fanatics, you know, I think they have a huge opportunity to, you know, I would argue those are more features, like to fix those, or bugs, you know, to fix those bugs. You know, those aren't large scale things. I think large scale, the thing I'm most excited about is Fanatics can grow the hobby. You know, they have a lot broader reach. I mean, very few people know about Topps, I would say, or Panini compared to the Fanatics name and the leagues and teams they're associated with. So that's the biggest opportunity. I think the challenge is, you know, Fanatics has never manufactured a trading card before, as far as I know. So, you know, they need to learn how to do that or acquire existing companies or both, and, you know, hire people who know how to manufacture good quality cards that collectors want to collect. And that's not easy. You know, as much as we all like to bash the card companies as collectors, you know, they have a hard job. Just like, you know, I like to say we have a hard job at PSA. Everybody has a tough job in this hobby. Nothing's easy. And so Fanatics has to get serious about card manufacturing. But if they do, you know, I think they can truly grow the hobby.
Yeah. One of the things I really love about Fanatics coming in is just the amount of money they're going to be investing in and the amount of publicity they're going to be bringing. I'm really hoping that when we're sitting back on our couches watching NBC Sunday Night Football 5 or 6 years from now, that the starting lineups are actually introduced by showing the sports cards of the different players. If you start to see that type of integration with the sports leagues and with, you know, the Fanatics manufacturing the cards, and of course with the sports leagues now owning part of this new trading card venture, I think they'll have the motivation to be integrating to that degree. And if you start to see that, I think it's going to be a wonderful thing overall for the exposure for the hobby.
I agree. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm sure you can. I'm sure your graders are excited about the, you know, millions of additional cards that might be coming their way from all of the new people who might enter the hobby if that type of thing starts to happen.
Well, more importantly, as a collector, I personally am very excited to have kind of fresh take on design and, you know, kind of product creation. I like the current companies. I collect both, but I love, you know, I think change is good, you know, for a lot of reasons. So,
yeah, change can be good for sure. It's going to be fun to see how it goes. And speaking of you as a collector, I know you've got, we don't see it in the background right now, but I know you've got a nice little wall display up there I've seen before. You got some interesting stuff with you. Show me a couple of things.
Yeah, this is a pack, a shadow box I had built for packs, graded packs. So, as you saw, a couple were missing. So I took one down. So this is the, 1997 medal, Series 1. There wasn't a Series 2 technically. It was just the championship. But that's my favorite pack just because that's the PMGs, the red and green PMGs, you know, are live in this product.
Have you ever pulled a PMG before?
Yeah, I pulled, well, it's been a long time, but in 90, probably 97, I pulled Kerry Kittle's green. I was at a card shop in Texas, and I remember it was upside down. The base cards were faced up, and then I was like halfway in the pack. It was face down. I thought that was weird. And I flipped it over, and it was green. I didn't know what that meant, but to be honest, at the time, I was probably 11 or 12, and parallels weren't really a thing. We had refractors, but really unique, like different, almost frankly, different design parallels weren't a big thing at the time. So it took me a little while to understand. And it was out of 100, the serial number, which we weren't really used to either as collectors, you may remember. Like that was like really only the second year that it had been a thing. So I thought there was 100. I was like, ah. But then the card shop owner, this guy Igor, told me, well, actually, it's the only 10 of them are green and so on. So, but I haven't pulled one since. I'd like to. Yeah.
That well, and maybe there's one in that pack. You'd have to bust it out of the slab to find out, which I suspect you're not going to do.
No.
But I know you did open this product recently as well.
Yeah, I didn't get a PMG. That would have been nice. I have a number of boxes unopened. I'm really hesitant to open them. The odds are really low that there's a PMG red or green in them. So I don't know. I don't think I did get, I got all the good base cards, MJ, Duncan, Kobe, et cetera. I beat the odds. I got two platinum portraits, which are, I want to say out of 288 packs. And I got two, they were actually in the same pack, probably a difficulty with collation or something. But yeah, it was, and I think I got an autographic, so I'm trying to remember, but yeah, it was a good box for beating the odds, but you don't really make your money back unless you hit, you know, a PMG. So.
Sure, absolutely. But hey, they're fun to rip. It's the chase is always fun, yeah. Right?
And here's a cool pack. This is Magic. This is an Italian version of Magic the Gathering from 1995, which is pretty cool.
Oh, very neat.
Yeah.
Well, so I know PSA grades packs, and I know PSA has been expanding grading into different areas. Obviously, you guys made a move in the video game grading space with an acquisition. And I think you're starting to grade Funko Pops now. Is that right as well?
Well, if they're autographed.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen some of those at card shows recently. What about grading sealed boxes? So like, you know, instead of just packs, has there been any thought about grading that, you know, unopened metal box?
Yeah, we'd love to. We have some ideas. You know, for us at collectors, it all comes down to experts. So, you know, I think we have the world's greatest experts in cards and coins and video games and autographs, but we don't really have the expertise in unopened boxes at the moment. I mean, I fancy myself an expert on those, but to be honest, it's actually really complicated, in many ways more complicated than cards, because you have shrink wrap and you have individual packs and you have very different nuances across the years. There's a lot of tampering, you know, involved with these sorts of products. People weigh them, they reseal them, they swap out packs, they do all sorts of there could be completely inauthentic. You may have seen there was a big bust of fake Pokemon product recently. So we, you know, before we get too deep into it, we want to approach it the right way. So no plans as of now, but something we'd love to do. Personally, I'd love to see us do that, but no plans right now.
Yeah, it'd be great. Awesome. Well, I appreciate this, Nat. This was great to have you on. I'm excited about the new PSA service level that just reopened, as well as hearing that more are going to be reopening early next year. Hopefully, fingers crossed on that. Thanks for sharing that news with our audience, and happy holidays.
You too. Yeah. See you soon.
Thanks to Nat Turner coming on the show and sharing all of that information with us. I'm excited to hear about PSA making good progress on their backlog and hopefully continuing to open up lower cost grading levels in the future. If you want to take advantage of that new regular submission level with PSA, the $100 a card submission level, you can get that direct through our bulk grading program here at Sports Card Investor in partnership with Got Baseball Cards. All you need to do is go to sportscardinvestor.com and click on grading in the main menu bar. And our team and Got Baseball Cards team will take care of all of your grading needs. Again, sportscardinvestor.com, click on grading in the main menu bar. Please hit that subscribe button and that bell icon if you haven't already. And we'll see you back soon with our next episode. Take care.